Hello, and welcome to the Glossy Beauty Podcast, our weekly show where we discuss the future of the beauty and wellness industries with the people who know them best. I'm your host, Priya Rao, beauty editor at Glossy. And today's guest is Tom Seary, the founder and CEO of Real Self. In this episode, we talk to Tom about the need for reliable information regarding cosmetic aesthetics and plastic surgery, the evolution of Real Self's event strategy, and the casualization of injections like Botox. Hope you enjoy the episode. Today on the Glossy Beauty Podcast, we have Tom Seary, the founder and CEO of cosmetic aesthetic resource, Real Self. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Tom, you started Real Self back in 2006. Tell us what the impetus was back then.
Yeah, 2006 sounds really old, and but back then, the inspiration was I was talking to my wife one evening, and she mentioned she had just been at a clinic, and they had she had just had a facial, and they had handed her a brochure that said, "Hey, would you like to consider getting a $1,500 laser treatment?" And that brochure really didn't give her any information that made her feel compelled to move forward with that decision. And for me, the light bulb moment was I'd been working at Expedia at the time, and I was like, oh, wow, that's what travel agents used to do. They used to hand you a brochure saying you and your loved one are going to have this awesome vacation at some resort in the Caribbean. And of course, we all know when you get there, it's a little bit different than what you see in the brochure. So building a brochure that a person could believe in was sort of the impetus to the business and the idea. And as I looked out on the internet back then, there really weren't resources that I thought my wife could really relate to, like TripAdvisor could for hotels, like Expedia enabled you to book. And that really got me curious about this space, this category that is kind of was kind of weird. And my friends all thought I was crazy. Maybe they still do. But this idea that somebody would really want to take a really more advanced approach to their skincare, to their overall body shape and appearances is something that I think has really been fascinating to me and still does to this day. Remind me that it's interesting.
So 13 years ago, I mean, I think there was a little bit of a stigma back then about, you know, Botox or plastic surgery or even, you know, facials. How do you think that's changed or evolved over time?
Yeah, I think for sure, as I mentioned, my friends thinking I was a little crazy. I think behind that was, why would you want to be focusing on an area that is so kind of, and back then it was just unattainable. And the world has shifted so much with social media and the access to information. Real Self was one of the first to give voice to patients and people who've had real experiences, but also real questions on our mind. And let's see, 2.5 million questions later, here we are sitting here and realizing we still are not done in terms of helping people get informed about their appearances. And a lot has changed in terms of technology, accessibility, but I think just societally we are more accessible or more open to other expressions of self than, you know, just having to look like a certain ideal. People want to do different things and try different ways. And as a culture, the good news is I think we're all less judgy about it.
How do you think Real Self and obviously cosmetic aesthetics fit into the larger beauty landscape, which is, you know, so product driven and so, you know, makeup or cosmetics driven?
Yeah, when I started the company, I think I felt it was very much outside of the world of beauty. As time has progressed, we're seeing we're just an extension of the beauty discussion and consideration that people have. And so I say sort of internally at the company, I talked about how we're just an extension of the beauty counter at Nordstrom now. And that's because there's all these non-invasive, minimally invasive treatments that are available that you can get no downtime, low downtime, and results. And so that collapsing of distance between that the products that you use at night to the services you may choose to do in the afternoon is something that has been really a catalyst to the industry becoming more and more defined as what we're calling internally and we like to talk about as modern beauty. And it's an expression of both self, but also access to a tremendous number of treatments and procedures and topicals and things that allow you to achieve your best self or your real self.
So do you think, or do you consider Real Self or the treatments that you guys, you know, suggest or promote as similar to, you know, buying a lipstick?
Well, just let me clarify. We don't think of ourselves as in the promotional business or certainly We don't have an agenda to want you to do something. We want you to get information. I'm personally just as satisfied by a person who comes to Real Self saying, boy, I'm glad I did this research and I'm now going to go work out more in the gym, or I'm going to choose some other alternative. That's okay by us. We are in a position where we just want to bring transparency and information to the world of medical aesthetics and this area of modern beauty.
So what do you think is important when you are talking about that kind of transparency or authenticity when you're dealing with something like social media?
Yeah. One of the things that was fun for us to discover as time went on is that because Real Self is predominantly women talking about their experiences, women tend to want to share information in ways that men don't. They actually want to make the world a better place by sharing insights and helpfulness and be there for each other. And then truly, the amount of content or sharing, I should put it, is really beautiful that our community members provide, which includes photos and videos and stories and the entire experience. So the authenticity of that really stands out in this world where there's a bunch of airbrushing and quick snipes on commenting and on blogs, and it gives that depth and character and authenticity that I think really has resonated well with millions of people around the world.
So who is your audience, and who is your woman or man today who's visiting Real Self? How old is she? Who is he? Where are they coming from?
Yeah, so the Real Self audience members are diverse, but we reach predominantly women. 35 to 55 is really the sweet spot. We also reach men, though, so 67% women. And we see ourselves in the major metros. Of course, there's the highest intensity of interest. However, you're seeing people connecting to doctors on our platform from all over America and all over the world, frankly, but in really small markets where you went, like Topeka or somewhere that. And it's been fun to watch a distribution change over time. So in the last 10 years, we've seen that the rest of America has sort of shown interest in medical aesthetics. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise. It's just it's taken maybe a while for the clinics to be set up and doctors add these services in these smaller markets.
So when you think about services, you know, what are people researching or looking to do the most of? Is it Botox? Is it filler? What's happening?
Yeah, I think your orientation, you know, we have cosmetic surgery as well as non-invasive or minimally invasive treatments like Botox. And I think that's how, you know, there's a partitioning there of like one's a really big deal and takes a lot of downtime and a lot of thoughtfulness and expense and risk. And the other might be something you could do in an afternoon or quick, you know, after this session. Not that you need anything. You look beautiful. but the minimally invasive side is something that we see the highest interest. And those interests are around non-invasive body fat reduction and technologies like Cool Sculpting or Sculpture. And those are something that are attractive for people who can't get rid of that sort of extra little bit of fat that, you know, you just seem to sit there and hang out. I know personally, I work out every day and I'm like, why is this still sitting in my belly, this little layer of fat? And I kind of just think it's fine, but maybe someday I'll just get a little frustrated and try out something like Cool Sculpting. But to your point, Botox is, of course, a mainstream big deal. It's a very large, well-understood brand, but it's and it's everywhere in terms of the global access of consumers and fillers. And so being able to adjust something in your face, including maybe even the feature of your face. So not just like cheekbones, but also Dr. Devgan, who's our chief medical officer, does a non-surgical rhinoplasty, and she shapes the nose in a temporary basis. But that's something that's attractive to somebody who may not want to go through surgery, which is a big deal again.
Tom, when you think about your audience, you know, you said largely 35 to 55-year-olds, but, you know, we're hearing in the ether that millennials and Gen Z are really trying, you know, these treatments preventatively. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that a lot on your own site and that interest?
Yeah, and it's our site, but Real Self has really blossomed into multi-channel, just like you're multi-channel, and we're doing an exhibit of that now with podcasting. But, you know, as we look at our social following and engagement, as well as which is, you know, the Real Self Instagram account is something that we've spent a lot of energy on and having a lot of success with, we're seeing that we're reaching that younger generation. And from my world point of view, I'm a Gen X, but millennials are extremely interested. I believe our recent research we did with Harris and a poll showed that millennials were twice as likely to be undergoing or doing a treatment in the next 12 months than adults who are 35 and older. So that just goes to show you that the intensity of interest is much higher with the younger generation or the millennial generation. I can't speak to Gen Z, but there's no reason to say Gen Z wouldn't be just even more open to the idea that, you know, you would want to consider doing an aesthetic procedure in your lifetime.
Tom, last year you guys raised $40 million in funding, and that was kind of the first round in about 12 years that you guys had done. What was the reasoning behind that? What did you want to accelerate?
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird, right? Some of my, you know, 12 years, what happened in 12 years? Well, we were a very scrappy business, and I was a bootstrapper, I guess is what they call it in the Valley, and, you know, really trying to build something from the grassroots up. And that's the community aspect, and just really not having writers, reporters, you know, and just doing things as bare bones possible just to give life to this community. And when we started looking at the business a few years ago, I realized I think we could actually build a brand. I think we could actually have a bigger impact in the world, both the U.S. and globally. We just need more resources. Our scrappy beginnings are beautiful and wonderful and something I still cherish and reinforce internally at the company. But for us to become a brand that stands for something in people's lives, that reaches millions of people outside of the U.S., we need more resources. We need a marketing team. We need to do the things that we hadn't really put a lot of effort against historically.
When you think about marketing, I know a big push for you guys was experiential. Talk to us a little bit about what happened at South by Southwest.
Yeah, well, you were part of it, so we could do an exchange, and hopefully you had a good experience there. South by Southwest was our first experiment, is really what we talked about. Internally, that what would happen if we could bring the world of medical aesthetics closer to people. And so if you think about it, your access to medical aesthetics is something that is, well, I have to set up an appointment. I have to go into a doctor or clinic's office. I have to sit there and wait. I have to then go in, and then I'm sort of committed at that point. And it's a really expensive procedure, by the way. And so this idea of being able to get it closer to people, collapse that distance, make it, you know, very frictionless, was really the idea behind it. And not just bring these procedures and treatments, but the conversation of modern beauty and elevate that and see if it resonated. And so we saw a combination of journalists and reporters and bloggers and influencers all coming together and showing a lot of interest in this subject matter of medical aesthetics, but also a real interest in connecting with consumers and hearing their stories and hearing their interest. And holistically, it was a great experience. We learned a ton, and we're excited to do some more of these.
So South by Southwest isn't cheap. It's an investment. But you guys also partnered with like-minded brands, whether it was like an Invisalign for teeth or SkinCeuticals. What about partnering with those people helped kind of elevate and break down those barriers that you kind of spoke to at the beginning of this topic?
Yeah, it was fascinating when we spoke to the brands about this experiment, and we thought, well, let's have some demos, you know, and the brands were just so eager and bought into this idea of connecting to people who are digitally savvy, who are there for maybe alternative reasons, like going to see a beautiful film, but are curious enough to come by and see what these technologies are, what they mean, and what they can deliver and the benefits and what, you know, what does it feel like? And every single brand that was there, and we had, I believe, 8 brands represented, all wanted to be part of the total experience and not just sit there as, hey, how do we get more bookings into our local clinics or something? It was more around, how do we elevate this and be part of this elevation of the conversation, as I mentioned earlier, and really feel like they're getting into an authentic relationship with consumers as a brand.
When you think about brand awareness, do you think the pop-up lever is something that you'd want to do more of? Are you planning anything this year?
Yeah, I love the word lever. So thank you for using it. It is a lever, actually. It's a really cool way for us to connect to the real self audience in person, which I love. That's probably our secret little hidden agenda, is like we get to see our community members, you know, flesh and blood, as opposed to just digitally, which is awesome. But for sure, we intend to do more of the type of event you saw at South by Southwest with the House of Modern Beauty. That sub-brand, if you want to call it a brand, is something we'd like to continue to test and see where we can bring to other major events and places where maybe you wouldn't expect to find medical aesthetics and these demonstrations happening and treatments. So for sure, it's going to be more. And a year from now, I'll be like, wow, we learned a lot.
When you think about markets, is it about going to places like Topeka and bringing the real self of modern beauty there? Or is it bringing it to places like New York or LA?
Well, with all due respect to Topeka, we would love to see people from Topeka arrive and come to one of these events. However, we want to be where the energy and conversations are happening around beauty. So New York would be an obvious place. And we'd be looking for these hubs where there's an intense interest in both beauty, fashion, and media all come together. So you can think LA, New York, and those type of markets would be obviously ones. But even, you know, internationally someday, hopefully, in London and other cities.
What do you think about this whole trend or attraction towards, you know, the dry bars of Botox? You know, you're seeing that with Alchemy 43 or places like that. What's your thought and take?
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I think I'm the founder of Alchemy, and I are getting together next month, actually, in LA, and Nikki. And I just want to see how it works and how people are resonating, how it resonates with people who come to Real Self. Because right now, we don't really have a relationship with these various outlets. And something that I want to know is, like, not only how does it work for consumers in terms of accessibility and experience, but what about safety and factors around quality? And it's something we've just really find important, and an emphasis on Real Self is do your homework, do your research, make sure you understand the training and credentials of the individuals. And it's something that we're actually going to be pushing into, and I'll share later if you want more details about how we're elevating that experience on Real Self as time goes on. But overall, Alchemy and others are just maybe another form of House of Modern Beauty. We're just bringing these types of treatments to consumers in a more convenient fashion and an easier way to fit into their lives. And so we should be really, you know, open to thinking about that.
So Tom, why don't you elaborate a little bit about that when you think about how you marry both convenience and safety and that need for both when you're dealing with cosmetic aesthetics?
Yeah. Thank you for asking about that, because safety is something we take very seriously, because look, I think at Real Self, we have a social responsibility to do the right thing, to make sure people go to the right type of clinics and doctors and providers that are available for these services. And there's a lot of options out there. But there's no regulatory body that's making sure the right people are doing the right things. Aesthetics is not regulated. A lot of people think, oh, only plastic surgeons are allowed to do plastic surgery. And that's quite not true. In fact, there's oral surgeons who do plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery. So we are taking it so seriously that we are bringing shortly a concept that we're calling verified, much like you've seen in other social networks. However, in our case, verified, when it's associated with a doctor, will be somebody who's clearly and transparently expressed what is their training, what is their board certification, and helping and also clarifying that they are in good standing with their local or regional or statewide health boards. And that kind of information is super hard and opaque for consumers to find. And we think we can elevate that, bring it forward, make it really simple to understand. And as time goes on, we'll bring these individuals into what we call the Real Self Network of providers and doctors who are achieving a certain standard that we've always had, but they're putting it on display, saying this is a standard of quality and transparency that is positive for consumers and good for the industry.
Tom, you know, one thing about Real Self is that it's always had content be a part of its strategy. You know, obviously people are sharing videos and photos and, you know, you guys write and doctors write in about what's happening in the overall market. But I know that's also going to be a focus going forward this year. What can you tell us there?
Yeah. I mentioned earlier that scrappy beginnings and why do we go raise money? Well, one of the things we want to do is elevate our point of view. And we have strong points of view based on not just what is my belief system, but actually what is the belief system of the community? What have we learned from millions of postings and millions of answers and all this interaction? How can we make that more accessible and easier for an individual to really consume that content? Would be if we wrote our own. So we just hired the former editor in chief of Shape.com, and we've also have another individual from a background in beauty coming together, and we're building a small office here in New York, and we'll be producing great content, including on our blog, which we're renaming to The Beauty Mark. It's currently called The Treatment. I was not involved in that decision, but that's okay. I support it. And you'll see us continue to elevate our original content and video in places like Instagram and, of course, you know, YouTube and others. So all in all, we're just trying to have our information reach people to where they want to spend their time and how they want to consume their information, which is oftentimes in editorialized form or easier accessible form like video.
When you think about educational content and cosmetic aesthetics, you know, it is still very opaque for some places. And we've seen other places like Allergan try to launch Spotlight with their own editorial site. How do you think that your point of view is going to be different and elevate the conversation?
Yeah, I go back to the power of community and the wisdom of crowds. You know, there's tens of thousands of people who've come to Real Self. Hundreds of thousands of people who've come to Real Self to share their personal experiences in those long story formats, whether something was worth it or not worth it, but also asking their questions and having open conversations. And I think that just puts us in a really unique spot to bring forward, as I mentioned earlier, the insights that are gathered. So, for instance, going back to the foundation of Real Self and my wife not really believing this brochure that was about this laser. Well, because that brochure in it said, oh, you get results and you'll be back to work in 2 days. And my wife was like, there's no way. You know, this is like burning your face off. And but, it, you know, on our site, it's a brochure you can believe, which is our community says, yeah, it could be 2 days. It could be 3 days. But, you know, more finding is between 3 days and 3 weeks. And that level of truth and trust that we can embrace with by just saying, here's what real people are experiencing, I think separates us out from any editorialized content out there.
How do you think that marries back to what you're doing on social? Because I know you guys obviously have a pretty rigorous Instagram strategy, but what's happening on YouTube, Facebook, what's working, what's not?
Yeah, YouTube's not working. we are not really trying hard enough there, and you know, there's this tension that every content resource has out there in this market, which is, do you do more like how-to's videos, or do you do the storytelling? And you could say storytelling will get you more reach and more engagement, but it doesn't really deliver on what our purpose is, which is we're trying to help people make smart, confident decisions. So I think we've been playing and tussling with that, and I'm not sure we even have nailed that exactly where we want to be with video, for instance. But what we do find is that when we can just show people what results look like or how it's done and what the final results look like in a non-airbrushed way, in a very authentic fashion, we see the highest engagement rates. People really resonate to on the social sites when we post videos that are demonstrations of these treatments, as well as, you know, the story of like what did it do for that person's life. So it's that combination, perhaps, of what I just said, is that tension.
What about with Facebook?
Interesting. Facebook, we sort of gave it up for dead as they made their algorithmic changes and said, oh boy, you know, they've just decided they do not want brands with content to really be part of their platform. And we've just seen some recent uptake and uptick in engagement and visibility in the feeds. But that's kind of technical and boring probably to your audience.
Not at all.
Okay. I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing, but we're seeing sort of that come back. I can't explain exactly where that lies, but I think by having verification and just, you know, and that's a stat, you know, that status and being a brand that's starting to get more recognized, I think we're going to see ourselves reach more and more people through the algo change. And the content we post there is really a reflection of maybe a little bit older demographic and a little bit less. It's kind of the same as Instagram, except that we're modifying it just for an older demographic, I guess is the point.
And how do you feel about kind of like the traffic goals that, you know, when you're dealing with a content site versus, you know, an e-commerce site or a social site, what are kind of some of the markers that you guys are really looking to achieve? Because it can be challenging.
Yeah, audience building is very tricky. And what we're trying to do is just, actually, the focus internally has been, how do we get into a direct relationship with our audience, as opposed to just looking at it as like a bunch of digital clicks and, you know, reports we look at. So recently we've introduced a requirement that if you want to see the images posted by our community, you have to join. And we've seen an incredibly large increase, of course, of people joining and becoming members. And now, as our membership grows into millions of people, we just feel like, okay, what can we do to personalize that experience? How can we do better at understanding what your needs are, your information interests, and bring you the kind of insights that are unique to our platform? So that's the metric that we care a lot about, is that how many people are in a direct relationship with us, and we know who they are, and they're authentic, they're not fake email addresses and all that kind of stuff. We, of course, care about our reach, and we really have had challenges with Google and their algorithmic changes in the medical space, and we'll make the adjustments necessary to kind of win back the algo. But the reality is that we're in sort of the post-SEO, post-Google world of search. When I was standing in South by Southwest, I was talking to a woman about Real Self, and she asked, well, tell me more about it. I said, okay. And I explained. She said, oh, okay. So she got out her phone and she pulled up Instagram and searched for Real Self. And I realized, millennials now do their search starting on something like Instagram, as opposed to in a little tiny browser box, I got to type in realself.com. And it gave her an instant understanding of what Real Self was by the visualization that is provided by Instagram. So anyway, the world is changing rapidly. We still care a lot about reaching consumers who are doing direct research on sites like Google. But over time, we want to have a much more diverse portfolio and bring people into a direct personal relationship with us.
Last question, Tom. When you think about, you know, that $40 million and where else you want to stretch it, whether it's experiential or content or marketing, what else is on your mind?
Yeah, actually, it goes back to that relationship piece I was just talking about, which is, we feel like we can do so much more in the actual connectivity of a person to the right clinic or doctor. If you go through the process today, your typical experience is you're trying to reach a practice. They're only open 9 to 5. You might get, you know, they're answering a service you've called during lunch. It's just a lot of friction that exists between a person who's saying, I want to move forward, I'm excited, I've done all my research, I've done my homework, and actually getting an appointment, being able to experience the procedure and have a positive way to share that back. So we're a two-sided marketplace, and meaning we want to connect you to a consumer. We want to connect a consumer to a doctor, but we want to see that all the way through and make sure that person has a great experience. So it's making confident, smart decisions, but also make sure the person has a great result and feedback loop that we can share with consumers. Like, here's what this clinic is doing. How are they somebody who does deserve our standard of verification? Are they somebody who are recommended by members of the Real Self community? So there's a lot of parts that we talk about are sort of in that transactional space that are not working well for consumers, and we want to be fixing that and making it easier.
Perfect. Thank you so much, yeah. Tom. It was great having you.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. A special thanks to Gianna Capodona, the producer of this podcast. As a thank you for listening to the Glossy Beauty Podcast, we're passing along a limited time introductory offer on a 3-month subscription of Glossy Plus. Glossy Plus members have access to unlimited content, exclusive research, and more. Join today for just $49. That's 80% off by entering the code INTRO at checkout. For more information, head to glossy.co/subscribe. We'll talk to you next week.